Welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia. And this is, well, it's probably one of our biggest shows ever. And it's not because he's back, the work experience kid. It's, hate to say this, mate, but it's not because of you.
Bugger.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you'll understand that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Look, a lot happening in the basketball world at the moment. Finals for NBL and WNBL, of course, are really tightening up. And we've got a few results and things to talk about. We're going to do that at the end of the show. We're going to do something a little bit different. And we're going to get to the big ticket item on today's menu. And that, of course, is the one and only Australian Olympian and NBA and we'll get to it surely. But the bullet point is Chris Anstey's on the show today. So we'll jump straight into that. Of course, today's show is brought to you by Dr. Electrician servicing the, North Adelaide and Brisbane areas. And of course, we are supported every single week by Rob and amazing people at the local card shop of Woolloongabba. And without his support, this wouldn't have come together. So, Rob, big thank you. Huge thanks, big fella. And let's do it. Let's get to the one and only Chris Anstey.
That ball don't lie.
Never does.
All right, ball don't lie, listeners. Took a bit of getting him here. Few technical issues, but we have him from our amazing hookups at the local card shop. They're our great friend of the show in Rob, and the other boys over there at local card shop. Make sure you get down there and just buy all the cards, get everything. But we've got an Olympian, obviously a boomer, NBA player, NBL champ, finals MVP, NBL coach, pub owner and now NZNBL owner of the Taranaki Airs, Chris Anstey. Welcome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's amazing who you run into. So I know Rob gave me a call and we thought we better get this done. So the boys at the local card shop are unreal.
Yeah, they definitely are. Mate, now normally we ask a question straight off the gate, where your basketball journey began. But before I do that, I just want to jump into obviously you had your tennis career first, and my first time I met Rob, we talked about, in fact, I played tennis first and then basketball, and I mentioned Pete Sampras, and the great man went and got me a graded Pete Sampras card and handed it to me, which, you know, made me think, who was your tennis idol when you were the young fella?
John McEnroe for me. I loved Sampras later on. I loved Federer later after that, but yeah, there's all kinds of questions about that, and I've landed on a quote years and years ago that I truly believe in. It's the comparison's the thief of joy. I think that whenever we put someone above another, we don't enjoy those who we might not think are quite at their level. So it's whether it's basketball, tennis, domestic sport, professional sport, I love watching it. I can sit and watch any player at any level and just enjoy the contest for what it is for the people competing. So, but for me, it was John McEnroe. Whether he was the best or not was irrelevant, but the way he crafted his game, his touch, he was different. I tend to like athletes that are different. And he was certainly that. He was polarizing, that's for sure. But on top of everything else, he was actually the first autograph I got as a kid when I went looking as well. And I wanted his to be the first autograph I got in my autograph book. And it took me a long time, but I got it. Nice. And I've had that autograph book ever since.
Nice. And it doesn't matter what it means to everyone else. It matters what it means to you. So that's always important. All right. Let's get to the quick question that we always get to first here on the show. Where did your basketball journey begin?
It started when I was in year 12. I'd never watched a game, played a game, and my younger brother played, so he was a men's C grade team at Keilor Basketball Stadium out by the Melbourne airport, and they were short one night in the middle of a week, and he invited me to play. I probably not so politely told him no a few times, and mum made me go. And if this was a different environment, I'd tell people that I had the most simple thought of all time on the way up. I thought, if I'm here now, I might as well try. Mm-hmm. And all trying meant for me was to run as hard as I could and, you know, see if I could understand the game. And I scored a lot of points and found it quite easy. But then again, it was a men's C grade game and I was, you know, 6'10", 6'11" already. And, you know, playing against accountants and lawyers isn't a hard thing to do when you've got some level of coordination. So, no, I got seen by a Melbourne Tigers junior coach who happened to be in the stadium that night watching another game. And months later, he got a hold of me when, you know, before mobile phones, and figured out where I lived and how to get a hold of me, and invited me down to train with the Melbourne Tigers juniors. And that was sort of probably just before my 18th birthday.
Nice. Yeah. I, as someone who currently plays C grade men's, a 6'10 athletic kid would do it. Yep.
You understand?
completely. Opposite sides, but total understanding here. You obviously went on to play across the world for a lot of notable teams. But where do you feel as if you played your best? You know the trajectory of your career. Where was the peak for you?
I think Russia. I think I played, probably played my best basketball there because I didn't really care what people thought. There was no one there evaluating me. And if I got cut and sent home, it didn't bother me either. The thing was, hardly a soul in Australia ever saw a minute that I played over there. You know, it was hard. You couldn't get the games. You hardly saw a photo. And for all intents and purposes, they were 3 years of my basketball life that were just for me. But I was very proud of being a part of the first ever Russian sports team, not just basketball team, to win a European competition from the time that Russia was included in the EU, and, you know, won a FIBA EuroLeague MVP award on a personal level, and, you know, played really, really good basketball. That, you know, by the time I got back to Australia, I probably think I caught a few people by surprise because they hadn't seen me for 3 years and probably only remembered what I was like at the Victoria Titans, and I knew I'd improved a lot and worked really hard at the game. And, you know, by the time I got back to Australia, you know, anyone who says Australia is the second best league in the world doesn't know basketball. It's not. And so to come back to the NBL from, you know, a physically demanding league like Russia seemed, you know, the game slowed down. There's not near the level of physicality and you're allowed to do anything the way the game's officiated. So that probably was a greater level of comfort for me to come back and finish my career.
Nice. And obviously you were a part of some fourth place torment with the Boomers across the journey. And I'm sure you were watching when we finally cracked the medal a couple of years ago, and it was a great night. But when you watch the Boomers, how do you watch? And by that, I mean, are you just purely a fan? Do you critique the game at all, or is it just that flat out enjoyment, or does it, you know, make you like a lot of, you know, Australians just want to pick up the ball and, you know, get out and shoot it around?
No, look, I probably watch it just someone who's been around sport for a long time, and I realise how tough international basketball is. I think 90% of, or probably high 90% of people who watch the Boomers or the Opals because we've had some level of success over the year expect us to continue our upward trajectory, but forget that the rest of the world gets better at the same rate, if not faster, at different times than what we do. So I watch with interest the different styles of game. I watch with interest how we match up against that. And, you know, leading into the Paris Olympics, it's, you know, it's going to be a very, very tough ask. It's, you know, to make even the quarterfinals, let alone the semifinals, for the group we're sending over and the groups that other countries are sending over is going to be an extraordinarily tough ask. Now, we're capable, but I think you'd find 12 other nations around the world who think they're capable of making the semi-final as well. So I watch it like that, and, you know, probably specifically the bronze medal game you're talking about. That was during COVID, and I probably had more people in the house than I've had since I moved in before COVID. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss a moment like that that was historical, and it was something that I was a part of a lot of teams striving to win that medal for a long time. And you know, I was probably half excited and half gutted that we couldn't do that years and years ago. So happy for the boys who did it, but at the same time, probably back over the fact that we failed in doing it for so long.
Yeah, so Chris, as we know, you chose basketball over tennis, but I wanted to talk about how AFL has had an impact on your career. I read that in 2008, you left your phone number with the Western Bulldogs reception, and you ended up chatting with Jason Ackermanis over lunch that same day. Can you tell us what that did for you and the way you go about your go ahead and call someone mentality and how that's helped you on and off the court?
Yeah, probably not as much to do with anything between the lines, more so between the ears. I think you can always find different opinions and different mindsets from not only other sports but other industries. And, you know, I've always been of the belief that I'd rather have someone say no than assume they'll say no. And, you know, Ackermanis was exactly that. I was going through a period in my life where I had a few things going on outside the basketball court. And as a Western Bulldogs fan, he was the guy that always seemed to have something going on off the court. Off the ground, but always seemed to be able to perform, and it probably didn't fascinate me, but I wondered if I could learn anything and try to remove what was going on in my life from my basketball game, and that was really beneficial in that regard. And, you know, we came runners up in the NBL that year, and, you know, probably I was as proud of that year as any because went through a fair bit of shit, but you know, I got to the end of the year and I thought, why is he the only guy I've rung? And sort of started just looking for phone numbers, sending unsolicited messages on social media, asking to be introduced to various people. And, you know, I think what you learn in a 15-minute conversation with the right person is more than what you'll learn in 15 books.
Yeah, nice. You brought Dirk out. You recently brought Dirk out, and you've had some great tours as part of Anstey Tours. What else do you have in the pipeline, and how enjoyable is it to get to show fans and basically, you know, show off, you know, Dirk Nowitzki to what would have been just a room full of people who just absolutely admired and loved the man? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was great to have a beer with Dirk away from the events, to be honest. But, you know, before we even got to Dirk, we ran a small night with Andrew Gaze and Leonard Copeland, and, you know, I got to a stage with a couple of others where in Victoria here you can walk in any pub on almost any night during a footy season. There's a retired footy player telling the same story pub to pub, and you sit and you listen, and you know, it's talking about this guy bumped this guy and kicked a goal here and did good enough stories. But I just thought basketball's got as good, if not better, stories to share from a global perspective. And so I called Andrew Gaze and Len Leonard Copeland and asked if we could do a small event for a couple of hundred people in a sports bar in Mordialloc. And they agreed to do it. I paid them well under what they would have ordinarily demanded. And we packed the place and had 1990s, you know, Melbourne Tigers videos going with a absolutely chocolate, you know, packed sporting, you know, sports bar. And we'd organised to do one with Josh Giddey, you know, through our relationship with his dad, Warwick, before the draft. COVID hit and we couldn't get that done. But Josh was kind enough to, after his breakout rookie season, still agree to do it. It cost us a little bit more money, but, you know, for him as then a 19-year-old to engage a room of adults and kids like he did in three different cities was, you know, credit to him. And, you know, we learn a lot about that speaking tour. And when, you know, one of the guys in the crowd in our Sydney event with Josh was Luke Longley, and somehow we convinced Luke to speak publicly for the first time and share his story. And you know, that was sort of in the lead up to the Australian story that was after he hadn't said much in The Last Dance. And, you know, we did six events with Luke, and probably with all of that under our belt, I felt comfortable reaching out to Dirk. And again, it's a reasonably significant financial undertaking to bring someone like Dirk out and his family. You know, by the time you fly him all first class and put him up in first class accommodation and pay him a fee that, while it's mates rates, it's still significant. But, you know, I just think, again, I wanted to share those types of stories with the Australian basketball public, because we are so geographically removed, you know, from the rest of the world, that oftentimes we miss out. And to bring Dirk, and not only Dirk, but the others I've just mentioned, and share their stories and be a part of a lot of basketball fans around Australia having access to those players, I think has been really special. And you know, you mentioned the tours, it's the other way around, where we, you know, we took 80 people across to New York, Dallas, Boston and Washington, and had an incredible time, you know, sort of pulling the curtain back behind the NBA and introducing them to people within my network. You know, both tours got to meet Dirk in a boardroom and spend an hour and a half with him, just with, you know, as one of 40 people. And guys like Allen Houston joined the tour, Leon Rose joined the tour, you know, touring practice facility. So, again, it's just another way of probably sharing part of my basketball experience that I was fortunate to have when I played with people who may not have been that closely involved with it.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. It's it's fantastic. I know one of good friends of the show, Pete, he went along with his young fella, and he just absolutely glowing, and pardon the pun, but he was absolutely giddy telling me about how he got to meet Giddy. Like he was genuinely just bouncing, which was so cool, obviously. Mate, look, let's get to it. What was it about the Taranaki Airs that first, you know, got your attention?
The opportunity to improve something that, you know, had really good foundation, but I suppose, again, the ability to leverage my basketball network and to get into a business relationship with, ironically, you know, some guys that I'd grown, you know, that I'd known for a little while, but also came and spent time on our tours. So to, you know, cross the business acumen with my basketball acumen was appealing, and we felt like we could help. You know, we're already very proud of some of the initiatives we're trying to implement on the ground in Taranaki, albeit from afar for a lot of the time for me, but yeah, having the right people on the ground over there in New Plymouth to deliver what we want. But probably the next phase of that, and the one we got to work with really quickly, was putting a team on the floor that was aspirational. That, you know, the New Zealand National Basketball League's not the NBA, it's not the Australian NBL with what we can pay, but it's certainly a stepping stone to Boomers opportunities, Tall Black opportunities, you know, other higher paying professional leagues around the world. And we went about recruiting players who have something to prove or somewhere to get to. That, you know, local New Plymouth players as well as Aussie imports and other New Zealand players as well. So we're very happy with the team we've put together. We feel like we'll be competitive. You know, I love that my good friend Sam McKinnon, you know, he had a very small opportunity to coach the Brisbane Bullets and still had that itch to scratch. So between the two of us, I think, you know, we've been able to call the right people to get the right players, in some cases surprisingly agreeable, to come and play with the Air. So we can't wait for the season to start later on this month. You know, Flynn Cameron and Shane Froling will probably miss a game or two, seeing as though they've had such successful Australian NBL seasons. But just fascinated to watch a professional sporting team through a completely different lens, you know, that of an owner that I haven't experienced yet.
Yeah, well, you speak of Sam McKinnon, who did that, have the short stint with the coaching spot at the Bullets. But a bit before that, he did have that very positive little run there with the Brisbane Capitals just before COVID and everything hit. And the players that I've spoken to there just speak so fondly of him. So, you know, it's just for them, he seemed to have it all. Like, he, you know, when they talk about him, it's just pure admiration seems to flow from them. So hopefully he can bring that to the Boomers and, as you say, scratch that itch. And look, you never know, maybe something opens up in the NBL for him or down the line. But obviously, you know, you want him at New Plymouth for a little while for the Taranaki Airs.
No, look, the biggest thing with Sam is I trust him and I think he trusts me. So that, you know, we're starting on that footing and, you know, it's not a bad footing to start with when you're talking the bridge between an ownership group and the playing group. So he knows we're not going to screw him over and I know that, you know, he's got the absolute best intent. So it'll be what it'll be, but I think you might surprise a few people with how well he coaches.
Beautiful. Well, you talk about you obviously new ownership group coming in here, and it always is tricky. What are some of the steps that the ownership group is taking to try and stay connected with the club? Obviously, you've talked about a few players, but is there anything extra or any love you'd like to give to some of the people down there on the ground?
No, look, I mean, Cole Brown's our general manager. You know, Melissa was there when we got there. We didn't want to go and just put all of our own people in. We wanted to support the existing people and provide them with more resources. So, yeah, I think to do anything successfully, the answer always comes back to the people involved and the communication between those people, and that's been strong. It's a very easy flight to get over there, and we've already been over a handful of times, and we look forward to getting back over there plenty of times during the season, because as much as we can talk on video calls and phone calls, it's still not the same as being face-to-face, whether it be with staff over there, with players over there, or you know, partners of the club and sponsors of the club. It's really important to actually be present, see it with our own eyes in person, and be able to respond accordingly.
Indeed. All right. Now, since you've obviously got the Hotel Trentham, you're a publican now. Myself and a friend of mine had a bit of a debate, and we wondered if you would be interested in weighing in, because it's a tricky debate, and people have come down on both sides and that sort of thing, but it's a classic Australian basketball debate. Andrew Gaze or Lauren Jackson, who is the greater GOAT, if you will? A lot of people have thrown that name around for both of them, but if you can, who would you put above? If someone was talking smack about either one in the pub, who would you come down on the side of?
Well, again, I'll preface it with saying comparison is the thief of joy, but again, basketball is a global game. So for me, Lauren Jackson was the most valuable player in the best league in the world multiple times and a multiple championship winner. And you know, no Australian basketball player in history has done that on a global scale. She's a world championship gold medalist. She's incredible. You know, Andrew's an interesting one. It's, you know, I think it's just the default answer because a lot of NBL or Australian basketball public watched the NBL and didn't have access to the NBA. But, you know, there are a lot of players who have been very, very successful in the NBA that we didn't see in the NBL, so we don't evaluate them the same way we evaluate Andrew. And, you know, Andrew had a very, very brief shot at the NBA but wasn't able to stick like others like Patty Mills, Luke Longley, Andrew Bogut, Joe Ingles were. You know, to me, those other guys are international superstars who were able to make it and stay in the NBA. The reason we don't evaluate them as Australian GOATs is because they don't play on our home soil. So I think the debate's much broader than just those two people. But I'd certainly say Lauren Jackson's, if I had to, is the greatest we've ever had. But the conversation comes down to many, many more people than just one male player.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would agree. That's pretty much what I told him. But thanks for coming down on my side. I always appreciate it. Mate, if you've got time, we've got five more quick-fire questions, if you've got time for it.
Sure, I'm probably rude to hang up now.
All right, awesome. Can you, now, this is potentially a tricky one. I know what you've said about comparisons.
No such thing as a tricky question.
can you give me your top five players of all time? Now, that might be...
No.
No?
So it's easy. No, of course. I mean, are we talking Aussies, anyone?
Literally just your own personal thing. We've had people put spins on it. We've gone women, Australian, teammates, whatever works for you.
Yeah, look, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan. Probably need a point guard in there, so you'd probably go – I'd love to say Steve Nash, but probably Magic Johnson. Yep. Then you'd probably fit LeBron in there somewhere, I'd imagine.
Nice. I like it. I like it. All right.
What's your favorite playing number and why?
13. Wherever I could have it, I did. Why? I don't know. I just kind of laugh at people who think it's an unlucky number, and it's amazing how uncomfortable it makes some people feel. So I just like wearing it.
I like that.
Are you and Taylor Swift in the same boat?
Never put me in the same boat as Taylor Swift.
I won't do that again. I apologize. That was my mistake. My bad. Favorite movie?
Maybe Dumb and Dumber, maybe Goodwill Hunting.
Oh, yes. I
don't know. Maybe Beverly Hills Cop 2. I don't know. I don't watch movies multiple times. I tend to watch them once or twice and move on.
Yep. All right. And always the trickiest question here. Who would you get to play you if Hollywood called and wanted to do a biopic? Who would you want to be you?
Burn the cinema down or burn the movie. I wouldn't pick someone who's long and gangly and doesn't look good on a camera, and that'd probably be the one.
Nice.
What's your favorite kicks of all time, playing or casual?
I could not be less interested in shoes. It's
fair enough.
It's whatever fits and whatever they give me or whatever looks good when I go out to buy them. I've never understood the whole shoe thing. They're a performance thing. You're there to play, not, you know. So it was funny, through my basketball career, it's amazing how many players cared about what they look like and not how they performed. And the ones who oftentimes took the most time looking at their shoes were the ones who didn't quite do as well when they actually got on the court.
Fair enough.
All righty. If you could go back in time to watch any game in the history of basketball as a spectator, what game would you like to go back and watch courtside?
To be honest, I probably wouldn't go back to a basketball game. I'd go to Wimbledon final, or probably go and watch Sampras play Federer in the final or something like that. But if it was basketball, I'd probably go and research an old EuroLeague final between a Serbian or a Yugoslavian team and a Greek team, with flares going off everywhere and smoke sitting up in the ceiling. And, you know, just that's real basketball. It's not fabricated. It's not for television. It's passionate. And, you know, again, it's the sort of basketball game that most of the Australian basketball public don't probably see enough of and don't understand the competitive nature of rivalries in Europe compared to what we have here. So, you know, it might even be a partisan Zagreb or something like that, but, you know, I'd probably pick one of those, you know, rivalry games between two European teams.
Nice. Second last question, just quickly, has been Hoops. Where can people find the podcast if they want to get around you and Mark Worthington?
No, it's been fun. We enjoy getting on and chatting every week. I suppose anywhere that does podcasts. I know it's on Apple. I know it's on Spotify.
Yep.
I guess wherever you're probably listening to this podcast, Has Been Hoops is probably on it too.
Nice. And lucky last question. Ask all our guests who have come on, who should we have on next on Ball Don't Lie Australia?
Who should you have next on Ball Don't Lie Australia? How high are you aiming? You should get Bruce Palmer. He's one of the best storytellers I've ever heard. And, you know, if I was to have an event and I could convince enough people to come, I think out of all the people I've sat in a room with, between him, Brian Gorge, and Al Westover, those guys in a room together are probably the best basketball storytellers and narrators I've ever been around. So it's not your names and the people who do well on a basketball court. It's the people who have been around it with good perspective, who can give you better insight and keep you engaged while they tell the story. So I'd probably call Bruce Palmer.
All right. Well, I have sat in a room with Bruce Palmer before, and you're right. He holds the crowd right in the palm of his hand. It's fantastic. All right, Bruce, we'll be in contact soon, mate. heard it here first. Chris Anstey, thank you very much. You've ticked a box for a childhood fan. I'll always cherish your jersey even more now. And I do have one last question. If I do see you at some sort of event, possibly even a Taranaki Airs game, would you mind if I came up and got my jersey signed?
Of course, no, but come to Taranaki, or just keep an eye out. Maybe next January we'll have another special NBA guy coming and visiting Australia if we play our cards right. So we could have some fun and do some tours around Australia next January too. So who knows, but come up, say good day. But my autograph might not be the most valuable one and might not be the most valuable number 13.
It will be to me, I'm sure. All right, Chris Anstey, thank you very much for joining.
You're listening to the Ball Don't Lie Australia podcast.
Okay, huge thank you, of course, once again to Rob and the boys at Local Card Shop for helping us out with the hookup there to Mr. Anstey. Of course, big thank you to Mr. Chris Anstey himself as well for joining us. But we do have some local basketball action to just very quickly talk about. Let's start with the WNBL, mate, and fire.
Yeah.
Knocked by the Perth Lynx. 4 took down 1. Very tight. Second game. OT. As a Fire fan, came up a little bit short in the end. But hey, huge comeback in a lot of ways, not just, more just for the whole season with the Perth Lynx, how they've really turned things around out there for them. So they're through. They've booked their ticket to the WNBL Grand Final. Right. And what we've got left is Flyers and Boomers. Sarah Blixarve's out. Boomers still get up, tie things 1 apiece. Are you sticking with your LJ, or are you going to swerve and take some Boomers action?
Well, I'll stick with it. I think you got to ride it out. Can't switch up now, can I? Yeah. I'll bet on him.
Well, we were both wrong last time, so look, I'm happy to be wrong twice. I'll swerve. I'll swerve. Go on. Give me the Boomers.
Yeah, all right.
Give me the Boomers. Obviously, any team LJ is on, I want to see win, but. It's no fun if we both take the same team.
Yeah, let's
make it slightly interesting. Yep. And because of that reason and no other, I will go against one Lauren Jackson. Awesome. All right. Look, few NBL 1 signings with Ben Hastings returning for the dark side. But the big one, D-Mac is in. Or your Wizards.
Yes.
And Jamie Petty is out at the moment. I have spoken to Jamie and we'll hopefully have him on the show over the next week or so. Just to talk through, he assures me there's no ill will or anything like that, but we'll put it in his words. But D-Mac, look, it is very nice to see, I love seeing D-Mac, in Brisbane, let alone for Northside Wizards. It's going to be great to have him in the NBL 1 North in some capacity, especially this. Was hoping he would be here in some capacity. So now he's got the Wizards job, and we'll see how we go, and we'll hopefully get Jamie Petty on next week to just have a yarn. But like I said, I'm sure there's no ill will. It will be all fine moving forward, everything like that. And, of course, through the week in the old NBL, we had Jared Pickering predicting almost to the day, like a lot of other people in and around the NBL, it's one of those worst kept secret style ideas that everyone's having the same thought process out loud. But, you know, Jared picked it on the show before it happened, recalled it, re-upped on my prediction that they wouldn't win the game. And, yeah, really just went all in. But, hey, sometimes you do that and it comes up aces.
Yeah.
Well done, Jared, on the pick. And, look, well done, Kings. If they can, as long as that all goes together as well as we hope, I think it's potentially a great fit for the league.
So, I think so, yeah.
All right, NBL. Finals are set.
They are.
We are out of the play-in. The Breakers are done. Tom Abercrombie, unfortunately for Tom, his career now in the NBL has come to an end. But they did, at the very least, it definitely feels like they got the Abercrombie bump.
Yes.
Which, you know, unfortunately propelled them over our bullets, but into the play-in and deep into the play-in as well. But, yeah, look, it's sad to see someone like Tom, to see that he won't be playing anymore, but he's given a lot.
Yeah, everything he had, I reckon.
So, all right. Okay, that does shape us up for the semifinals and obviously then the final as she drops. So first up, we're going to have Perth Wildcats and the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Now I'm going to go first in this one. I have nothing but love for Scott Roth and his team.
Yes.
I just think that the Wildcats are going to get this one done. I just think they're a little bit deeper after the injury to Marcus Lee.
Yes.
I just think they're a little bit deeper. They're going to get this one done, but all credit to Scott Roth and the Jack Jumpers for just getting to this position. They really were, like, they did looked a bit sketchy there for a little bit towards the end of the season, but they came good, strong towards the end, locked in their position and locked in, got out of the play-in race as early as they could. So definitely huge positive for the Jackies, and they find themselves in a semi-final. Strangely, place they've been a few times in their very short history.
Yeah, well, every time, I believe. Yeah.
So, who are you taking?
I'm not going to make it as interesting as the NBL, WNBL predictions. Yeah, I think with Marcus Lee being out and that Wildcats team is very talented. I'm not as high on the Jackies as Ant is. So I'm going to go the Cats as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right, over on the other side, Melbourne United versus Illawarra Hawks. Now, to be fair, with timings and everything, we're not properly deep diving these teams. We're just giving our predictions and shallow dives, if you will, this week, of course. But we'll be back with a deeper analysis next week of how things are shaping up in the semifinals. And we will, of course, have the WNBL grand finals to predict as well. But Melbourne United, Dean Vickerman versus Tatum. Of course, it's not that simple. But, you know, that's the way it's possibly going to be marketed.
But,
United versus the Hawks. I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who do you like?
Oh, I like Illawarra and where they've come from, and I like their story. Obviously, there's a little bit of bias there, but and I like the way they've been playing. They improved, blah, blah, blah. But United are just really, really good. So I'm going to go with United.
Look, tough one to go against. They look deep. JLA's back playing consistently.
Yes.
Yes. All the other pieces. Oh, look, I'll swerve again. But only because of his Taranaki Airs connections and Sam Froling. I'll go the Hawks. I mean, I'll go the Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Against United. It should be a good series. Yes. Hopefully neither of these series is a short series and they go the distance.
Definitely.
And if they are short, hopefully they're really tight games where we really get to see these teams, you know, try and hit it out and stretch things. So look, that's where we stand. Who's gonna win? Well, we'll give our predictions on that next time around. But that is gonna wrap us up on NBL. WNBL and a little bit of NBL One North action as well. Now, it is time that we get a little bit of local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em on the show. And this one actually comes from a couple of weeks ago after Jared had his, you know, delightful little, you know, crystal ball moment with the whole Kings franchise and, you know, their future.
Yeah.
You know, we got the boys to stick around and I got them just to crack another little bit of, you know, another NBL pack. And this is that chat again, of course, as always, huge thank you to the local card shop of Woolloongabba. At the Capitals, does the ball ever lie, Steph?
Never, ever.
All right, gentlemen, I've got you back for another round of local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em. This time, we're cracking MBL cards, 2022-2023 Topps Chrome. So we got four. You've only got four cards this time round, Ant.
So I can only lose by a maximum of four.
Exactly. So, you know, at worst, you'll only be four cards away from the W. Well, technically three. Like, yeah, realistically, yeah. Three. So,
I mean, two from a tie.
Hey. All right. So we've got, let's crack it open. Oh, what? Top card. Top card is a nice card. Let's get around this one. Okay. For those who haven't played before, I read the back of the card. The boys have to call out their code word to lock it in and stop any clues and put forward their answer. That's their buzzer. Let's go with 36s. And bullets.
Bullets, no.
Yeah.
That's the shortest name that I think of. That we've been given in some time.
All right. So are you happy with Brisbane Bullets playing in the Armory?
There we go. Back there to scheduled programming.
All right. Somebody represented Australia at Junior Worlds in 2014 and 2015 before a college career at the University of Miami from 2016.
Brisbane Bullets playing in the Armory.
I didn't know my buzzer.
It's Dijan Vasiljevic.
Yes.
I didn't know my buzzer. That's the closest I'm going to get in this round. There's a 36 in
this.
No,
yeah,
I had to say Brisbane Bullets at the Armory.
You had all the time in the world, and yet here we are. All right. Okay. Oh, this is shaping up to be quite the spicy little pack here. Okay, card number two. The future looks bright for the 21-year-old Rockingham WA Junior after his selection at number 56 by Cleveland.
Brisbane Bullets playing at the Armory. Luke Travis.
Luke Travis it is playing in this one for the Perth Wildcats. He had that gorgeous mullet moustache combo.
Hopefully he gets a look in this year. Yeah, at least like a training camp. Yeah.
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 All right. Well, that's 2-0.
Need two, Jared.
2-0.
I'll take one.
Oh, now this is an absolutely gorgeous card. I'll tell you boys right off the bat, this is an NBL Legends card.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm in with a chance now.
So
that brings
this
me back into play.
This is normally the point where we would get Ash Proud on the blower. But look, I don't think his amazing services from this time era will be required. I think you might be able to get this one.
Yeah, I might not have quite as many stories, but let's give it a try.
Don't want to get into how he used to wear knee guards and high socks.
The guard rotation at the Bullets in the 90s.
Look, it was wildly impressive.
It was wildly impressive. I couldn't say about like the rotation of the Bullets today.
That plus the 6 degrees of separation, like knew the person who knew. It was incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Recent, you know, what podcast he was recently on, yep. This, that, and the other, his current career. Amazing. All right. Somebody arrived in Perth as a left-handed point guard in
Brisbane
1990.
Bullets, playing at the Armory. Is it Ricky Grace?
It is Ricky Grace.
You know,
I shit you not. I was going to do the same thing just before it. I was just going to be like, is it
Ricky Grace?
Jared, you've got zero. So, of course, you're saying you were going to do something, but I was going to do that.
No, I swear to God, too. I just had the inkling to just go, is it Ricky Grace?
I'm just like, Ricky, Leonard Copeland, Brett Maher, like, come from that bucket, please.
Yes, it is an absolutely gorgeous card, which We'll have to get grade.
Is he in the Oh, that is beautiful.
I do love those jerseys. Yes. I know they do appear quite old, like have a very older kind of feel to them, but they are sick. Like they should certainly bring those back like once a year.
For sure. Mm. Agreed. All right. Final card. Final card. All right. I'm almost tempted here to just mute your mic, Ant. But all right, Jared, be fast, man. Come on. Universally accepted as the best player in the NBL since arriving in 2017.
Bullets playing at the Armory. Is it Bryce Cotton?
It is this year's and so many others. For the Perth Wildcats, MVP, Bryce. Like, we've actually lined up the cards quite well. Like,
pulling the line, like the two best Wildcats that have ever played in a row.
Yeah.
No offense to Sean Redditch, Damian Munn, James Crawford. Those two are the peaks.
Yeah. These guys, absolutely amazing.
Screw with that.
So, yeah, look, Jared, thanks for coming. It was great having you on this segment again.
Good seeing you,
Just so we are clear, what was your buzzer again?
You didn't hear it, but it was 36ers.
And he gave you his nicest buzzer so far.
There you go. I need bad
buzzer. The smallest amount of syllables that I could possibly do. Maybe next time we just go with,
Just tap the mic.
Me.
Oh, Jared, yes. Well done. All right, boys. Thanks again. Always great to have you on for an episode of Local Card Shop of Woolen Gabba Crack'em. Hey, maybe next time, Joe.
Yeah. I'm going to keep trying.
You're going to have to get some of those cards in those in the select card saves.
As long as we don't post my all-time record, I'm fine. People have to
These are going straight in the card saves and then off to Platinum Standard Grading, I believe, to be graded. Thanks again to everybody who was on the show and supported us. Of course, over the journey, but that is going to wrap us up. So big ep, great one to put together. Long time in the making in a lot of ways, but you know, huge thank you to everybody who supports the show here at Ball Don't Lie Australia. If you are listening on a podcast service that does allow those 5-star reviews, please do go and do that. Give us those likes and follows on the Insta and the faces and the, all that kind of stuff. And look, if you are re-listening to this, because, you know, some people do that too, down the track, hey, keep an eye out for a TikTok. Keep an eye out for a TikTok. Yeah, down the line, maybe. All right. Until you're listening to us again, just remember, that ball don't lie.
It never does.